My name is Pearson.
My name is Pearson.
You are listening to our PAPL on Retirement Talk with Mike Graber.
This is Retirement Talk with Mike Graber from Compass Retirement Advisors. When a part of your financial strategy is out of tune, your long-term goals, your retirement savings, and your legacy can all suffer. With many years of experience in the financial industry, Mike Graber provides his clients and prospects with the information they need regarding Social Security, retirement income planning, wealth management, and much more. Listen in as we address your financial concerns and provide helpful strategies to put you on the path to achieving your retirement goals. And now, here is Retirement Talk with Mike Graber.
Hello, everyone, and once again, thank you. It's great to have you join us here on our show. Today, we're focusing on the importance of Social Security in the financial lives of women. And we're going to be looking at two articles. The first is from CNBC, and this was published on March 15th of this year. And the title, Why Social Security is So Important for Women, it all comes down to longevity. And the second article is from March the 18th, How to Avoid the Survivor Penalty Before a Spouse Passes. Very important to have an understanding of how our claiming strategies, when we claim our Social Security benefits, how those can impact our surviving spouse. And I hope you'll stay tuned today as we discuss this. I think this is a really vitally important information. It's an important part of retirement planning. And I hope that when today's show's over, you have a little clearer understanding of some of the details on this issue and why this is an important part of your overall income plan. One quick reminder, I think it's important that we keep an eye on pending legislation in Congress. A lot of trial balloons being floated right now by the politicians. Some speculation in the news reports that the political class that be willing to let the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act expire. And that means all of us will be paying higher federal income taxes if that happens. You know, and part of this expiration could include a reduction in the estate tax exclusion limits. And that would mean more of what Americans have accumulated might become subject to federal estate taxes. You know, right now, there's a pretty hefty exclusion from estate taxes, $13.6 million. If the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act is not extended, that exclusion will be cut by almost half, and then there'll be some adjustments for inflation. But bottom line is that could mean a lot more of what we've accumulated would be subject to federal estate taxes. And I do think it's important we pay attention to these trial balloons. And the reason being, they give us an idea of what the politicians are thinking, you know, what's on their minds, what direction they might be planning to take with some of the tax policies. So again, I think it's important we stay tuned to what these trial balloons might be forecasting. You can call me at any time, 812-787-0809, with any questions about today's show, about any retirement related topic, and certainly we're here to help in any way that we can. Again, my number is 812-787-0809. Well, it's time to welcome in the golden voice of Mr. Tony Shore. It's always good to have you with us, Tony, and today we're focusing on a very important topic, and that's the impact that Social Security claiming decisions can have on women.
All right. I'm eager to find out where we're headed with this topic. I know Social Security is an important part of retirement planning for everyone, but there are some things that make it even more so for women, and it makes it a difference. So when their husbands file, that has an impact on them, and I know you're going to dig into that and more on today's show, but I want to tell you, thanks for having me on the show. Again, Mike, it's great, and we've had some great shows the past few weeks, a lot of great information. And I've been really busy myself. I know you're busy and you've got a couple of big events coming up. I know you love hearing from our listeners and meeting with folks. So again, listeners, pick up the phone and give Mike a call. Set up that no cost, no obligation consultation. There's no charge. 812-787-0809. If you have any questions about today's show or any retirement or financial related topic, I know Mike would be you'd love to talk to him, wouldn't you, Mike?
I sure would, Tony. And it all starts with just a phone call and a conversation, and we'll see where that leads. So let's begin today by looking at some key points from the first article I mentioned, and that is that the average woman lives roughly 6 years longer than men do. And that would put the average life expectancy for a female at age 79. And the key word here is longevity. And it's that longevity that makes guaranteed income sources like Social Security especially important. And, you know, that should be, you know, obvious as more years of income are going to be needed. And a second point, women tend to save less money for retirement, and maybe it's not worded correctly. Maybe it should be that women have, you know, fewer dollars on hand for retirement when their spouse passes than men typically do. And we've discussed many of the reasons over past years for that. And this in turn may put them in a more difficult financial position, financially speaking. You know, when both spouses are alive, there's a lot of dollars on hand. But, you know, if the male develops some long-term medical expenses, for example, you know, that can erode the income base for the life that the surviving spouse is going to live alone. So that's where this description of, you know, women possibly having less money for retirement comes from, that medical expenses can erode that. But, you know, we know for sure that the age when a person claims Social Security benefits affects that monthly benefit amount. We've talked about that numerous times here on Retirement Talk. But we also know there is a financial incentive for delaying the Social Security benefit. You know, claiming early at age 62 results in approximately a 30% lower Social Security benefit.
Wow.
Versus waiting to claim your benefit at your full retirement age. And, you know, my full retirement age is 66 and 10 months. And if you don't know your full retirement age for Social Security, I hope that you'll look that up. You know, so many years and so many months, and once you reach that, you can receive 100% of your benefit. And the other side of the coin is true. If you delay to age 70 or even past your full retirement age, there's benefits to doing that. But if you wait all the way to age 70 to claim your benefit, it can be as much as 124% of what your benefits would have been at your FRA. And we all know that, you know, once you start Social Security, it's a benefit that's guaranteed for life. But, you know, guaranteed income is crucial for women. It's crucial, guys, it's crucial for our wives. According to this article, the longer one lives, the greater the odds that that nest egg will be emptied. And remember, claiming early locks in a reduced benefit for life. So, you know, claiming early at 62 means a reduced benefit. And with the life expectancy of women being, you know, 79, you know, that's a long time to go with reduced dollars from the Social Security benefits that are available. You know, I think it's all about making informed decisions. It's all about making wise decisions. And I believe, you know, making a decision about Social Security needs to be done within the context of an overall comprehensive income plan. This should not be a one-off decision that's only looking at what you can get from Social Security. You're electing the start date should be made, as I said, in the right context of a plan. And this plan has a lot of variables. And you have to consider, you know, all of these before you make the Social Security decision. And, you know, it's different for each household. So don't rely on your neighbor's wisdom or your coworker's wisdom or your brother or brother-in-law or sister and sister-in-law's wisdom. You really need to approach this looking at what's best for your household. And there are a number of questions that you need to work through, I think, to make the right decision. And then remember, there are rules for couples. There are rules for spousal and survivor benefits. And even in some circumstances, for someone who has been married and divorced, there may be some options that need to be looked at and considered. So, you know, it is crucial to have a full, I think, a complete understanding of all the issues that feed into, you know, making this decision before you do make that. One of those considerations is often overlooked, and that's the benefit of delaying Social Security benefits when it comes to the value of future cost of living adjustments. You know, when we get a cost of living adjustment, you know, down the road some year, you know, if you have taken your benefit early, you're getting the cost of living adjustment on a smaller base. If you waited and you took a larger Social Security benefit, you're getting the Social Security adjustment on a larger benefit base. And over the course of, you know, 20 or 30 years of retirement, that can add up to be very significant. So just one point there as a reason to really think through your decisions about when you're going to start taking Social Security, with knowledge that ultimately it's going to impact the surviving spouse.
Well, yeah, and you mentioned the survivor's penalty at the opening of today's show. What exactly is that?
Well, it's something that all surviving spouses can face. You know, the survivor is going to face higher future taxes, and this is in the code, and this is something that many people, you know, overlook. Now, there are some variables in income, but basically, whenever you switch from married filing jointly, you know, the one spouse passes away, then you'll be filing as single. And, you know, many people don't understand that our tax system has a built-in tax increase for the survivor, you know, in that regard. You know, just going from married filing jointly to single, the tax rates are different. And what's important to understand with this issue is that you can do things today to minimize that possible tax increase at the death of the first spouse. But the key is, it takes advanced planning. You know, that might include looking at Roth IRAs as a strategy. It might include incorporating the QLAC that we've talked about in previous shows. And again, the QLAC, that stands for Qualified Longevity Annuity Contract. That's a tool, a mechanism within the code that allows you to take some of your current IRA and move it down the road so that you do not have to take an RMD from that dollar amount, and not being forced to take the RMD reduces the amount that's subject to taxation. But, you know, this type of planning and establishing other income streams that are not includable in provisional income, that's really a key. But, you know, that's something that you should begin working on now with an understanding of what we're talking about here, that the married filing jointly rates are different than a single. But, yeah, provisional income is something that we've talked about on some of our shows, but it's a real key to unlocking an understanding of, you know, what kind of planning do I need to do potentially minimize the additional taxes that my surviving spouse may be looking at.
Right. And I think it's so important, Mike. And I know you've, I think this is a good example of why it's not a good move to go it alone when planning for retirement. And this provisional income rule is only one area. I know you have several tools to help your clients work through these and can help our listeners as well. And one is the Social Security Maximization Report, correct?
Yeah, it is, Tony, and we've talked about that many times. The only thing that a person needs to do is call me at 812-787-0809, and we'll talk about your specific information. But let me just maybe define provisional income here with this issue that we're discussing today. Provisional income, it's a classification of income, and then that determines how much of your Social Security goes on your 1040. The key is to have income that's exempt from this rule. Well, what is provisional income? Provisional income is all income, including income from tax-free municipals and one half of your Social Security. And depending on what that total is, as much as 50% of your Social Security income, all the way up to 85% of your Social Security, can go on your 1040. So these, as I said, the provisional income rules determine how much of your Social Security has to go on your 1040, and you pay that at your highest marginal rate. And it's really important to understand. And this is certainly one area where you want to spend time with your advisor and your tax preparer and talk about this. And I think we need to look at what types of income are includable and what types are not. And while both spouses are alive, you know, that's the time to be working on this. And this may mean taking some time and repositioning assets so that the income that they generate is excluded from the provisional income classification. And it all starts with the conversation, as I've said. But, you know, the Social Security maximization program that we have, you know, that's designed using the individual's information. And there's no fee, no obligation. It's a service that we provide here for anyone who calls, Compass Retirement Advisors and request the report. We're happy to do that. We need to know some individual information. You know, this is not a cookie cutter approach. We take your information, we put it in the system, and then we'll help you look at, you know, when's the opportune time to start your Social Security so that over both lifetimes you get the maximum dollar amount coming to you. And then we work from there into the overall comprehensive income strategies to make sure that you get to keep more of what you've made and fewer dollars go to Uncle Sam.
Well, yeah, and that's unfortunately, he's not even my real uncle and he takes some of that money, right?
I mean, that's right, Tony.
Yeah.
Well said.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, this is a really important topic. Maximizing your Social Security for everyone is important, but I think it's really important to note, as you have been, Mike, that for women out there, you know, it really matters as a couple to really use strategies, couples filing strategies, and work with a financial professional like yourself before filing for Social Security.
It really is, Tony. You know, just this one topic by itself, I think we've illustrated today just by pointing out a couple of things, the importance of understanding how my decision impacts my spouse. Something that we see quite often, and another reason that we would encourage couples to sit down and have the conversation is, you know, still in today's world, you know, and the world has changed a lot over the last several decades, but there's still a lot of homes where one spouse has all the financial information or has all the financial knowledge and, you know, made all the decisions, you know, took care of the checkbook, took care of the deposits, took care of taxes, took care of the investments. And that person passes away and the surviving spouse doesn't understand, you know, the financial picture. You know, that's a difficult place for the surviving spouse to be. And with ladies living longer than we men, usually that is the wife that finds themselves, you know, in that position. So I would encourage everybody, you know, to schedule a meeting around the kitchen table, get both spouses to sit down and go over your finances and explain, you know, if this happens to me, then this is what your financial income picture looks like. And here's who you can call for information on this, or here's where these accounts are. And that's also a really good time to review your beneficiary arrangements. And I want to maybe make that one of our final points as we work toward closing out today. Some couples may have sufficient income. It may be at a level where having the spouse as the beneficiary of the IRA is not the best choice. You know, maybe using a different beneficiary for part of your IRA proceeds would make some sense. It takes a little more in-depth planning to look at that. But instead of my spouse inheriting all of my IRA and then those RMDs forcing more of their Social Security to be taxed, maybe we peel a little bit of that IRA off and make the kids the beneficiary, or make our church or charity or a good work the beneficiary. Well, that's about all the time we have for today. I hope you'll take the information as a heads up and that you'll act on it. You know, evaluate the potential impact your Social Security claiming strategy can have on your surviving spouse. That's the point for today. And especially for the ladies who have the longevity that we men typically don't. Remember, every dollar saved from tax is a dollar your investment plan doesn't have to earn. And if you're a couple who's already made those Social Security elections, you know, we can't change those, but there's still time to look at ways to reduce the impact of the tax change from married filing jointly to single. And I hope you'll call me or talk to your CPA, your tax preparer, and take a look at these provisional income rules. My number is 812-787-0809. I hope you'll give me a call and request the Social Security Maximization Report, or just ask me general questions that you may have about retirement income planning. We appreciate you joining us today and invite you to tell your friends and family about us and tune in next week. Remember, you can find us on your favorite podcast site if you subscribe to Retirement Talk with Mike Graber. Thank you for being with us today.
All right. Thanks, Mike. And listeners, thanks for tuning in. That does it for today's episode of Retirement Talk with Mike Graber. Thank you for listening to Retirement Talk. Don't pay too much for taxes or retire without a sound income plan. For more information, contact Mike Graber at Compass Retirement Advisors. Call 812-787-0809 or visit them online at CompassRetirementAdvisorsLLC.com.
Investment advisory services provided by Creative One Wealth LLC, a registered investment advisor. Compass Retirement Advisors LLC, The Insurance Shop Inc., and Creative One Wealth LLC are unaffiliated entities. Mike Graber and Compass Retirement Advisors are not affiliated with or endorsed by the Social Security Administration, the Federal Medicare Program, or any government agency. Provided content is for overview and informational purposes only and is not intended and should not be relied upon as individualized tax, legal, fiduciary, or investment advice. Each individual situation will vary and opinions expressed here may not apply to everyone. Illustrations given are hypothetical examples and provided of illustrative purposes only. It does not represent real-life scenarios. Long-term care riders are not a replacement for long-term care insurance. Investing involves risk, including the possible loss of principal. Insurance product guarantees are backed by the financial strength and claims-paying ability of the issuing company. Product and features may vary by state. Materials presented are believed to be from reliable sources, and no representation can be made to its accuracy. All ideas and information should be discussed in detail with one of our qualified representatives prior to implementation. The information contained contained here and is based on our understanding of current tax law. Tax and legislative information may be subject to change and different interpretations. We recommend that you seek professional legal advice for applicability to your personal information.